Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Genesis chapter 45, and we're going to read in the New International Version. Are you ready? Lengthy, yet again, so stand up on the inside as we honor God's word. Genesis 45 and verse 14. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there is no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save the lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You and your children and your grandchildren, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the horror, that's a big difference, honor and horror. He knows about the horror part. He's going to hear about the honor. Honor accorded me in Egypt, thank you, Pastor Karen, and about everything that you've seen, and bring my father down quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all of his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will enjoy the fat of the land." Verse 19, "And you are also directed to tell him, do this, take some of the carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father to come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours." So the sons of Israel did this, and Joseph gave them carts. I want you to say that. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for the journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 3,000 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. Wow. And this is what he sent his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away. While they were leaving, he said, "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went up out of Egypt, and they came there to their father Jacob, in the land of Canaan, and they told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he's ruler of all Egypt. Jacob was stunned, and he did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, of course, Jacob and Israel is the same person. Israel said, I am convinced my son Joseph is alive, and I will go and see him before I die. Oh God, come. Touch all those online, all those that are here. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have no notes for you, but I will use a few of my own. I've entitled this Revived by Revelation. I'm going to tell you a story. It's rather intense. I will not give you the details to save my mother from any agony because she just doesn't like hearing it, and I don't blame you, Mom. But I am going to tell a story that's very profound. So without the details, I'm 20 years old. The year is 1988. 20. Younger than you. I'm at the very end of my life. I know it. I'm in trouble. I'm in New York City. It's Father's Day. I'm 20. I'm awaiting a certain end. Back home at my father's house, my brother John and his family are there, his wife, they'd been married a year. They hear from God, and that's the only way I know how to say it. The word is, go find Danny. They said, well, he's in New York City. We don't know where he is. Go find him. Because if you don't, you'll regret it, like for the rest of your life. I mean, that's the sense. They talked to my dad. My brother talked to my dad. They jumped in his Cadillac, 1988, drove 80 miles or so to Manhattan. There's 8 million people. Where's Brother Toby? When you're from Brooklyn, right? 8 million. Can you imagine if you had to go find somebody on the streets of Brooklyn? So I am walking the streets in Alphabet City, downtown Manhattan. And God speaks to my brother, go find Danny. My dad and my brother jump in my father's Cadillac, drive 80 miles into the city, impossible to find me. And all they did was drive. I don't know their length of time. I think it was an hour or two. They felt led. I don't care, 2 hours. I don't care if you're looking for somebody for a day. 8 million people. I'm walking on the sidewalk and my father appears. I thought I was having a hallucination. And he's weeping and crying, and he comes to me and he grabs me and he pulls me off my feet. I was a shell of a young man, broken. And he said, here's what he said. I got you, Danny. I got you. I cried and cried. He put me in his beautiful Cadillac, drove me out to his beautiful house. And my life began to turn around at that moment. I've had a number of great turnarounds. It's a powerful moment of God's intervention in the life of a 20-year-old. I had a dream today, and I woke up remembering that. I was weeping. God, you're so amazing that you would reach out and grab me and snatch me like a stick from the fire. I want to tell you the reason that happened is because I got a mama that prays. I have a brother that prays. I had a family that was standing for me. The devil wanted to take my life. Oh, but God came through. He can save your family. He can intervene. Nothing's impossible with God. You can find a needle in it. That's like a needle in a haystack. Well, God knows right where that needle is there, Brother Home Slice. You just be led by the Spirit. How are you going to find somebody in Manhattan? There's no way but God. Come on, somebody say, but God. This text is so profound. It's It's a series of revelations that happens. I was revived when I saw my father. And he was revived that he got his son back. And my brother was in shock. They drove me out home, and I had the first meal that I'd had in days, and it started the process of healing. I wasn't going to make it. God intervened. I don't think Jacob was going to make it. This incredible drama unfolds with Israel and his brothers, and his, they've been restored. Joseph's dreams are fulfilled. And the key to this passage is revelation. So how'd you get that? There's six different revelations, maybe seven, six different revelations that take place. The first one, Joseph had a revelation now that he can trust his brothers. You know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, you might be online, and if you are, I'm glad I talked about a conversation I had today where I ended up having to repent. And man, the enemy wanted to beat me up like, really, dude, you really? And I'm just, no, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Just get away from me. I repented. I said to them, and I'll say to you, you know what's beautiful about having conflict? You know what's beautiful about going through stuff? Is then you know you can trust people when you've been through some things. You go through some things and you sit there and you discuss it and you confront it and you talk and you agree to disagree or you have to repent or whatever. It's beautiful to be a part of a family where you can talk about things and get through it and resolve it. And so Joseph has put them through this, I mean, a master stroke of brilliance, an inspired set of tests. And he now knows he can trust his brothers. And so now that he knows this revelation that he can trust his brothers with his identity, and he does that after 22 years of betrayal. 22 years of betrayal, and now he reveals himself, and the brothers have a revelation. He has a revelation of the brothers have a revelation of him. That he's the Egyptian leader, that he's second in command. Can you imagine? What? They thought he was dead. Brothers had a revelation that the Egyptian official that they're talking to is their brother, Joseph. It's Joe, the one they sold into slavery. He says twice, I am Joseph. Now, can you imagine? You could just sit there like, it's no logic. It makes no sense, impossible, except with God. Nothing's impossible. He tells the brothers what they did to him. Profound moment of revelation and a profound moment of restoration. And there's a revelation as to why he is sent to Egypt. There's a whole bunch of revelation here. Why he's sent to Egypt, verse 5, it was to save the lives that God sent me ahead of you. You know, you don't always know why you're going through a struggle and a difficulty, but if you'll trust God in the midst of it, you trust God in the midst of it, in time, it'll unfold. You realize that God will tell, oh, it might have been the devil, sure. Then again, maybe you're going through a test. Which one was it? I'm not sure, honestly. I just know this. Romans 8 and verse 28, and we know that God turns all things for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Not everything is good, but God will turn it for good. Everything. He'll turn murder for good. He'll turn death for good. He'll turn everything for good. What you went through, the disappointment with your father, disappointment with your mother, the deep rejection that you experienced as a child, whatever you've been through, God will turn it for good. If you'll trust him, if you'll settle it in your heart and not get bitter, he'll turn it. Come on, somebody say, God's turning it now. Come on, say, God's turning everything for good in my life. Say that. God's turning everything for good. I can't hear you in this Pentecostal church. God's turning
everything
for good in my life. Ready, try it again. God's turning
everything for good in my life.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
And Joseph tells him, you meant to kill me, but God God meant it to save the lives. I love this text, to preserve. The verse goes on, to preserve for you a remnant on earth, to save your life, a great deliverance, referring back to his grandfather. He's referring back to the promise that Abraham had, and I will bring them out with the, he uses the same words. Now, why do you think he uses the same words? To bring about a great deliverance. Do you think that Joseph chose the words great deliverance randomly? He did not, because it is the prophetic word told to Abraham by God, and I will bring them out of Egypt with a great deliverance after 400 years. There's generational blessings. There's generational promises, and Joseph is referencing that prophetic promise that's come to pass not only now, but later when they are delivered by Moses, the deliverer. The captivity, let me say to you, the captivity you feel right now in your life might very well be designed to allow to preserve you and to bring you into a revelation and restoration. He gives him a revelation of love and forgiveness. He weeps so loud. He weeps so loud. This is a cry of, I think, joy and forgiveness. It's 22 years. He gets to confront them. I heard a cry once that was so loud it filled the neighborhood. I'm like, no, I'm not kidding you. Like, you could hear it a quarter mile away. It was one of the most horrific things I've ever heard as a pastor. I will never forget it in all my life. This was not a cry. That was a cry of tremendous grief. This was a cry of grief and sorrow, but healing and jubilation. God has brought deliverance. God has fulfilled the dream. God has given me my family back. So they receive a revelation of love and forgiveness. And they all receive a revelation of how appreciative Pharaoh of Egypt is. I mean, Pharaoh gets involved and says, oh, if it wasn't for Joe. Oh, yeah. You're getting the fat of the land. And he shows how appreciative he is. They see how honored he is before the most powerful man in the whole world, Pharaoh. And Jacob receives a revelation. Now this, I had you say the word carts. I had you read it a couple times because it's a fascinating possible truth. Now I say possible because it's possible that it's not what it means, but there seems to be some hidden revelation from Deuteronomy chapter 21 when you study the Hebrew, which I love Hebrew root. I love looking for deeper meaning, the sod of the word, as rabbis call it. So Jacob receives a revelation that Joseph's alive, but he couldn't believe it. Deuteronomy 21, verse 1 through 9, is what's called the law of the unsolved murder. When someone is found murdered in a field and the killer is unknown, here's what they do. And I'll read it to you. They take a heifer, is brought into the valley, they break its neck, the elders wash their hands. You can go read it. This is Deuteronomy 21, it's part of the law. The elders wash their hands and declare their innocence, and the act atones for the innocent blood that brought redemption to the land. Okay. So in Genesis 45, verses 28 and 27, it says that Jacob sees the wagons. In Hebrew, the Hebrew word for heifer is the same word for wagon. And it is said by some scholars that when he sent the carts, that Joseph was sending a hidden meaning. It is also said that Joseph and his father, Jacob, or Israel, again, the same man, were studying the passage of Deuteronomy 21 when he left to go look for his brothers. Now, we can't substantiate all of that. But it is interesting. And the word for heifer is the word for cart. So when Jacob saw the cart, it says he believed and his spirit revived. He has this revelation. So tonight, as I bring application to us, God's speaking to us. You see, Joseph is a type of Christ. He's like Jesus. God sent his one and only son into the world to redeem the world, to bring forth a remnant. Joseph's name in Egyptian is Zaphaphaneah. Try saying that 10 times. Which means savior of the world. So when you do a deep dive on this, you begin to see the life of Christ in the whole thing. God sent his son in the world not to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. Picture of this. Joseph's dead, but now there's this resurrection. It's so powerful. You know, God longs to reveal himself to you. God longs to reveal himself to you. He's concerned about you and your babies. He's concerned that you would have a revelation of him, that you would see him, that you would know him, that you would walk with him. On this Father's Day night, the evening, Father's Day evening here, God wants to give you revelation. But he doesn't give revelation to everybody. Has anybody ever noticed that? Not everybody gets revelation. Well, what are some of the reasons for revelation? It's the glory of things to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of God to reveal it. So there's things that are hidden. He spoke parables to hide truth from those who really didn't care. We spoke in parables. Anybody say, what's this babbler saying? But parables hid truth, revelation. He wants to release revelation to you. The secret of the Lord, says Proverbs, confides with those who what? Right, so we have some people that know the scripture. Chew on that. The secret of the Lord? What is the secret of the Lord? Revelation. Revelation will come to you. I want to challenge you to go deeper in God. I want to challenge you to pray more in the Spirit. I want to challenge you to put your phone and your device away and quit looking at so many reels and being so distracted and go deeper. I'm going deeper. Oh, and you will sense it in the services. You will know. How come? Because I am. I'm going deeper. There is more to be revealed. I want to go. I'm just so grateful for going to conferences at times at different churches, and you just get to see, oh, God. Reevaluate. How are you with God? Are you walking by revelation? Are you doing some Pharisaical dead religion? Are you compromised in your life? If you're compromised, I mean, just it's because you really don't know him. Because once you really know him, you're not going to compromise. And then yet, we all stumble in many ways. God longs to reveal himself to you. He's concerned about us. Matthew 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I suppose if you have hair. Okay. Do not fear, therefore, for you are more value than many sparrows. If you don't hear anything else I said tonight, hear this. He loves you. He loves you and you and you and you and you and you. He loves you, every one of you. Loves you, cares for you. Every hair on your head or the lack thereof. He loves you. He loves you. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about your children. He's concerned about you. He cares. He cares so much about you. And the Lord would say, my daughter, I'm bringing you into fresh understanding and the love of God. I'm going to touch your heart and I'm going to illuminate your mind even while you sleep. You're so hardworking, so diligent. I'm going to open up out of my good treasure wonderful things from my word. I'm going to awaken you in the night, says the Lord. And I'm going to visit you. And I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to open your mind to understand the things of the word, the wonderful things from his word. And it's going to work in you in such a way that will be transformative. It's not that there's anything wrong, but you prayed and you said, God, I want more. And he says, I know. So from even this night comes a visitation of revelation upon you and your whole household. Lift your hands to heaven. You've not been abandoned. He cares. He cares for you. He cares for you. You're a unique man of God. Strong in so many ways. Before the Lord, you have a fleece. You have some questions before him concerning direction and some things that you don't understand. And I hear the Lord saying, my son, I'm going to unfold truth from the word and bring you peace and confidence over some of the things that have happened. I'm going to restore and heal your heart. And I'm going to raise you up. It's like I don't know how to describe what I sense in the spirit, but I'll try. Where are all you girls going? Lift your hands. Let me bless you before you go. Just lift your hands right there. Father, thank you. We love them. Thank you for coming tonight. Bless them. Give them dreams. Give these princesses, these great women of God, dreams, visions. Encourage them in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming tonight. We love you. I know you got deadlines and curfews and all that. Bless you. Let me try to describe what I sense in the spirit. I remember someone who went through open heart surgery. When they came through and they came out, it was like the grass was greener. Everything was changed. It's like a brand new beginning has come. I brought you here for a new beginning. And you're going to begin to see things flourish and grow. And the old season is gone. And I'm going to strengthen you and anoint you and give you wisdom for what happened in the past and give you courage and strength now in this new day, in this new hour. There's greatness on the inside of you, son. Greatness, says the Lord. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to breathe on you. He's touching your emotions. He's touching your mind. Highly intelligent. Sometimes that gets in the way. Don't reason away. Don't reason away your miracle. Let your faith be restored. Speaking to you tonight. Let your faith be restored. Let your faith be restored. Strength. You haven't given up on God. It's people, my God, people. Heal him. Yeah, 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 yeah. Almost done. Lord, thank you. He's concerned about us. He hasn't abandoned you. The second thing, if you're taking notes, is He can turn things around. He turned it around for Joseph's brothers. You're all going to die in the desert. God raised up a deliverer, fulfilling his good pleasure. God can turn your family around. God can turn your marriage around. God can turn your kids around. God can save your 20-year-old, even if he's like a needle in a haystack. God can send somebody and rescue like he did for me. Don't limit him. Don't cause arguments to rise in your mind that are against that. Nothing is impossible with God. When God speaks, he can perform it if you believe. You know, they never would have found me if they didn't get in the blasted Cadillac and drive. I don't want to drive 80 miles. I'm convinced I wouldn't be standing here. How we can do it, it's impossible. Well, we can try. I love that from Dr. Morocco. Son, as he stands before the throne, his life is over. He's before the throne of God. And the Lord says, son, why didn't you do what I called you to do? And Dr. Morocco's response is, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the giftings. I didn't have the people. I couldn't do it. And the Lord says, oh, son, didn't you know I'd help you if you only try? You know what marks kings? We try. We just step, move. We don't have it all figured out. Occasionally we say stupid things and hurt people, but at least we repent. Amen. God can turn it around. Come on, someone say, God can. They wanted to kill him. They put him in slavery. Thrown into prison. Romans 8:28, and to know that all things work together for good for those who love God or call according to his purpose. A cross that brings victory. He took your sin. He took my sin. He died. He rose again so that you can walk in victory, so that you can walk in freedom, so that you can see revelation. By sharing with us his purposes, he gives our life meaning. Your life has meaning. By the very fact that you'll stand before God in the end, before his throne, you stand before him. By the very fact that there's a judgment, the very fact that there's a judgment seat, means that this moment, right now, means something. Every second of your life, every infinitesimal detail of your life has meaning, has purpose. No matter what your mom or dad might have said, that you were an accident, we weren't looking for you. There are no accidents. There are no illegitimate children, only illegitimate parents. God can take your life and transform you. I think about Pastor Kirsten, who had given up hope, was hopeless, suicidal, ready to end it all. And he drove into a church parking lot and he said, God, no one cares. And he heard the voice of the Lord say, I care. Whoosh, in that moment, hope filled his heart. And he's become this great man of God that we all know and love. You have purpose. Bump your neighbor and say, you got purpose. So, may God give you a revelation to know that you, ma'am, sir, little brother, little sister, are important.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.